Well, we're going to spend some time in the Word, which is always wonderful to do. And we're going to go to 2 Peter chapter 1. So today, I wanted to share on the subject of God strengthens us. He does provide strength available to us. And in life, how good would it be if you didn't have strength or energy to do the things that you want to do or need to do? It would be not so good to just not have energy, not have the strength to live life to its fullest. And so naturally, we want to have it, right? Who wants to wake up really tired, then go through the whole day really tired? It's not a very appetizing thing. But so the question is it available? And then if it is, how do we get it? So we're going to look at those two things. And in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, describe some things that God makes available to his people. So verse 3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us, that's who these things are given to, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. They're exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So God has given, and there's over 900 of them, promises, these exceeding great and precious promises. And one of those promises is strength. So we can tap into it. Let's back up one page. It's 1 Peter chapter 5. I thought being we're in a neighborhood, it's not going to be hard to find in the scriptures about strength. Strength. I always have trouble with that word. Being in the scriptures. So chapter 5 verse 10 says, but the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. And strengthen is one of the things that God says he will take care of for us. Let's go to the book of Psalms, Psalm 103, right in the middle of the Bible. God does give strength, which is nice. It's nice to have. And so what we're going to do is just look at some of these verses that deal with God's strength or him giving it to us or and how to get it. Psalm 103 is just one of the greatest psalms as far as God showing his what he's like, what he does for his people. It's just a great one. And we're going to get a running start to verse 5. Verse 5 is really where to land, but it's such a great psalm, I thought, let's just start in the beginning. So verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. God doesn't say remember all his benefits, because I don't think that would even be available, that we would remember them all, because there are so many. But he just says, don't forget them all. You know, I'm amazed with my kids. Sometimes we'll say, hey, do you remember when we did this and that? No. Do you remember when? No. Like, do you remember anything? Of course they did. But, you know, God just wants us to remember some of the things that he has done for our lives. And when you start thinking about what God's done for us, it's amazing. So, forget not all his benefits. Verse 3, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. This is one of the things that he will do. Iniquities referring to sins, things that we've done contrary to the will of God. How many does he forgive?
All.
Is there anything that he has that he'll say, I'm not going to forgive you that one? I mean, people do that to each other once in a while. You hear somebody say, this person did such and such to me, and I'm never going to forgive them. You ever hear anybody say that? I'm never going to forgive them. Well, God doesn't do that. People may do it, but God doesn't. which is quite nice. There isn't anything that you have done that he is not willing to forgive. What a wonderful father that is. Who forgiveth all iniquities. There's another little benefit. Who healeth all thy diseases. Sometimes. No, there's no sometimes. Who healeth all thy diseases. It's available. It just doesn't say like a runny nose. Diseases. How many do you have? You know, whatever. Whatever it is that you got or may have, God can heal. And we've seen so many healings, even in our own fellowship, as far as miraculous healings. Incredible. Who healeth all thy diseases, who redeems thy life from destruction. Keeping yourself from shooting yourself in the foot. You ever shoot yourself in the foot? Well, he takes the gun out before you can shoot. So, but he redeems us from destruction. And some stuff that comes to us that we have nothing to do with. I remember, what was it, a month and a half ago, 2 months ago, that Sam, wasn't it Sam? And his girlfriend, they were going to go in that car.
Oh, yeah.
At that camp. They were camping, and they were going to go in a car. It was in the evening, and they were going to go to just sit in the car and talk. And they got this idea, man, we'll go someplace else. And then this gigantic tree fell on the car and demolished it. If they were in it, they would be dead instantly. I mean, just dead. And that's God working in. I'm saying, maybe you ought to go over here. Unbelievable. Who redeems thy life from destruction. And here's a great one. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. You know, we've been loved with the love of God, and it's a good feeling. I remember the first time getting in the Word, and I started understanding the love of God and having felt the effects of it. And I was like, this is really nice. I just wasn't expecting it. But so anyway, got nothing to do with the teaching, but I just thought these things would be nice to go over. Verse 5, who satisfies thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. We all like youthful vigor. We've all had it at one time, the youthful vigor, right? Just abounding energy. So much energy, you just don't know what to do with it all. And here, the promise is that our youth will be renewed like the eagles. And it's a figure of speech. One of the habits of an eagle in that culture was it would get rid of its feathers, its back feathers, in order to grow new ones that were strong. The other ones got old and not working so well. So to get rid of them, some birds lose them a little bit at a time. You ever see a feather on the ground? Lose them a little at a time, and it renews their feathers. The eagle does it all one shot, and they soar up high, and they come down into this water, and the crash into the water removes their feathers. So then they wait around until their feathers grow back, and then they've got their energy back. They're back to complete new, you know, like a little overhaul. And so God promises he will renew our youth like the eagles, which is quite a promise. You know, our lives will have energy and strength. Let's go to Isaiah, prophet Isaiah, to your right, a few books. Isaiah chapter 40. God does help us to unload things that burden us down, just like the eagles had those feathers that weren't working so well. He helps us with our fears. He helps us with anxieties. He helps us with anxiousness. All kinds of things. Burdens. Isaiah chapter 40. So we're just going to look at some more verses on strength. Verse 29. It says, he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths, even those youths, they are going to faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and shall not weary, and they shall walk and not faint. quite a promise. Let's go to 2 Samuel. To the left, 2 Samuel is right after 1 Samuel. Chapter 22. I always thought that was funny, except for when you really don't know. 2 Samuel chapter 22. And we're going to go to verse 33. God is my strength and power, and he maketh my way perfect. Verse 40. For thou hast girded me with strength to battle. Them that rose up against me hast thou subdued under me. So this, he was a warrior. This is referring to David. And God strengthened his hand to be able to go into war. Let's go to Psalm. We're going to run through some different Psalms. Just read them. And just picked a few of them. Psalm 18. It says, verse 1. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my what? Strength. Strength. In whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. Verse 32. It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. Verse 39. For thou hast girded me with strength unto the battle. Thou hast subdued under me those that rose up against me. Let's go to Psalm 27. Verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? It's a good question. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? God could be the strength of that person's life because it's a promise. God promises strength. It's available to his people. Verse 14. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Psalm 28, verse 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusteth in him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I shall praise him. Yeah, you get some strength and you are a little happier. Psalm 29, verse 11. You don't have to go very far to see. I mean, it's all over the place. The Lord, verse 11, the Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will what? Give strength. There it is. I mean, pretty obvious. The Lord will bless his people with peace. That's not a bad deal either, right? Psalm 31, verse 24. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. Psalm 33. Verse 16. A little different perspective as far as power and what man thinks he can do. And, you know, some people really think that, you know, they're big stuff. Big shot. It says, there is, verse 16, there is no king saved by the multitude of a host. No matter how big your army is, there's no king that's been saved by it. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. A horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, and them that have hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death, and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord, for he is our hope and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. Not that an army can't help, it's just that where's the trust factor? Does it, for strength, does it go to God? Or does it go to, well, I got a lot of money, or I got a lot of this, or I got a lot of that, or whatever. Whatever you might think is your way of getting strength. God says, you know, it's not really that that big. Verse Psalm 41. I mean 37. Psalm 37. They're just great verses. Verse 39. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. Psalm 41, verse 3. The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. Thou shalt make all his bed in his sickness. Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. That's a nice feature. And lastly, in Psalm 119, I think it's the longest psalm in the Bible, 119 and verse 28. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. My soul melteth for heaviness. There are times where, you know, life is trying to beat us up. The request here was strengthen me according to thy word. The word says, hey, I'll strengthen you. You just seek me. You come to me. You believe in my word, what I got available. And it's yours. So it's quite wonderful. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 3, just over a few pages to the right, Proverbs chapter 3. So how do we get this strength? It's pretty obvious in the scriptures. I mean, we can go through hundreds of scriptures that say God will strengthen or does strengthen or you've got strength from him. But how do we get it? Well, it's very difficult. Hardly anybody knows how to do it now. It's so readily available, it's incredible. It is very easy. But there is no formula. Life isn't really full of formulas. But the Word of God is full of truth. And as we apply those truths, things can happen. But it's not necessarily, okay, this is your first thing on the list. And then after that, then you got number two. And then you got number three. I mean, it's not baking a cake. But as we live these truths, they just start to happen. One would be food. I mean, obviously, food we need to eat. I like to eat. Some of you know that. But you know, we need food to have nourishment, and we need food, water to have it. And there's plenty of scriptures that show that. But one thing I want to show is sleep. Sleep is a necessary thing for strength, and there is something in Proverbs 3, verse 24, that very specifically talks about sleep. Verse 24 says, when thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. And the word sweet there is not a sugary sweet, like, okay, you're going to have a lot of dreams, you're just going to be lollipops everywhere, and you're just floating around, you know. It's not that kind of sweetness. It's a word that's used for a desired accomplishment. Sometimes we may have a goal, we meet the goal, and we say, ah, that was sweet, right? That was a sweet feeling. It was a desired accomplishment. And when we go to bed, our desired accomplishment is that we wake up the next morning real tired, right? That's worn out. No, our desired result would be we feel refreshed. And so when you think about what sleep does, it replenishes the body's natural strength. It replenishes all the, I don't understand it, but it does all kinds of chemical changes, all kinds of liquid changes. There's a lot goes on in sleep. It's so important that if you don't get sleep, there's only a certain amount of days you can live. The longest person that ever lived without sleeping was 11 days. They didn't sleep for 11 days, they died. Usually, after 2 days, your body goes through all kinds of... You ever try it? If you don't sleep, your body goes wacky. Your brain starts going wacky. So we need to sleep. God designed our body to sleep. And here, it says that our sleep shall be sweet. It'll have that sleep will have an accomplished thing. But what's the context here? Verse 21. My son, take as many sedatives as you need. My son, drink as much as you can. Knock yourself out. Oh, my son, let not these depart from thine eyes. Now, the these is referring to the context above it of receiving and utilizing the wisdom of God, the knowledge of God. And by having those, here's a list of some things that will happen for your life. My son, let them not, referring to the wisdom of God above, like verse 19 says, the Lord by wisdom hath founded, you know, knowledge and this and that. So, my son, let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then thou shalt, that after that in your life, then thou shalt walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. And it's because when we have the Word of God in our hearts, we get settled. If you go to bed unsettled, you're going to wake up unsettled. It's just going to be horrific. But if we're at peace, our heart's blessed, we're thankful, we're taken care of, we have a good sleep. I mean, there's just nights, I guess, that somebody keeps waking you up or whatever, but, you know, if you're all jumbled up, you're going to have a jumbled up sleep. But if you go to the bed rested in your mind, you're at peace, you're thankful, you're good with your spouse, you're going to have a good night's sleep. It's just the way God designed it. So that's one thing. Sleep does restore the body, which helps us get stronger. another one is seeking God. Let's go to Joshua chapter 14, kind of in the context of seeking the wisdom of God, the knowledge of God. In the book of Joshua, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, chapter 14. This is the children of Israel went from the wilderness for 40 years into the promised land, and only two men that came out of Egypt walked into the promised land, Joshua and Caleb. They were the only two men that followed God and said, we can go into the promised land. And everybody else said, no, we can't do it, you know. They'll beat us up. We're not going in. And so God promised those two men that they would be able to go into the promised land years later. And this is a record of it, starting in verse 7. Caleb speaking about 40, this is 45 years later. 40 years later. Sorry. 45. It was 40-something. verse 7. Says, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. He and Joshua were the only ones that came back with a report to say, hey, we can go in. God's given us this land. Let's go. Our God's going to lead us and take care of us. Everybody else said, nah, I don't think that can happen. Verse 9, and Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land where thy foot hath trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, so he's 85 now, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 80, four scores 80, and 5 years old. I'm tired, I'm worn out, I have nothing left. Verse 11 is incredible. As yet, I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war both to go out and to come in. Amazing. How did he get it? He wholly followed the Lord. What God said is available, he said, that's for me. I'll take it. I'll take two. And one for my pocket. I'll take three. It's just amazing. Let's go to Psalm 92. Here's a promise. Same promise, but it's to everybody. Psalm 92. That was specifically told Caleb by way of Moses. Caleb, you and Joshua are going in. Many years later. And he had that in his heart, and he, just amazing, as strong then. So here's the Psalm, verse 14. Psalm 92, but verse 14. Well, we'll get around and start verse 12. The righteous, who are people who follow God or wholly seek after God, blessed of God, God's people, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar of Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord, that doesn't mean you're a plant. You know, you're stuck there. You know, you hang out there. You spend your life in there in your heart. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. And here's the great promise. They shall bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. Fat isn't wide. Fat is in the sense of abundance. Flourishing. Just prospering. When they're young only? No. They shall bring forth fruit in their old age too. Fat and flourishing. Caleb, a great example. He's 85 years old. And he could honestly say, I feel as strong today as I did when I was 40 when we wanted to go in. Amazing. So what God does to strengthen his people is just amazing. You know, I understand, and there is a law of time. You know, if you're 105 years old, you might be a little weaker than when you were 10. But when you're 105, you can still be flourishing for a person of that age. Your mind can still be sharp. You can still do the things you need and want to do. It's available. It's certainly available. Let's go to Luke chapter 22. There's ways of getting that strength. One is to seek God. We seek his word. Sometimes angels help us. There's a record here in Luke 22 about Jesus Christ when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane and trying to, you know, he's making the decision to go forward with the plan of redemption, where he's going to turn himself in, so to speak, and get beaten to a pulp like no other man has ever been. And he made the decision, and you know he had been praying. And look what happens. Chapter 22, verse 43. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. You know, an angel came down. God sent an angel down. He just finalized his decision. Okay, I'm going through it. Now, what that angel did to strengthen him, it doesn't say. If it was me, he probably would have brought me a bottle of water and some food. Here's a sandwich to get you going. I don't know what he did, but that angel strengthened Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ needed a little strength, and God sent an angel. Let's go to Acts. Sometimes the strength comes by way of a miracle. It happens. Well, before we do that, let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. Acts, Romans, Corinthians, eventually to Ephesians chapter 3. There is a spiritual side to it. A Christian has the Spirit of God in him. And one of the promises here, chapter 3, verse 16, says that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. We're strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. If you go over a couple pages to Colossians to the right, Colossians chapter 1, similar truth. Verse 10, it says, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. We're strengthened with God's might. And in manifestations, God did say he gives us power. Definitely gives us power. Now we're going to Acts chapter 3 to look at a record where there was a miracle, which is what was the cause of the person getting strength. So there are lots of ways of receiving strength. There's physical ways and there are spiritual ways. So here's chapter 3, verse 1. It's a record we're very familiar with, about a man who was not able to walk. Verse 1 says, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. So here's this guy, he's brought every day, carried to this temple area, he's asking for alms from people who are going into the temple every day. I think he was around 40 years old. Verse 3, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. So he had an expectation in his heart. Verse 6. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I not. You know, I don't happen to have any money on me today. Sounds like me. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he said, I can't. I've been lame all my life. No, that's not what they did. And he took him, Peter took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had just happened. You know, they're just like, oh, what's going on here? You know, they knew him. And now all of a sudden he's jumping up and down. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, and he gives them a little talk about, you know, that they killed the Lord Jesus Christ and this and that. And then he moves into how this guy got healed. Verse 16, and his name, referring to Jesus Christ, through faith or believing in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the believing which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of of you all. So here it was a miracle. It brought a strength that was a healing for this man. He could never walk. How happy would you be, or I would be, if I had never walked all my life, and all of a sudden this guy comes and says, yeah, I don't have any money, but I'm going to heal you. And you get healed. It'd be quite exciting. But God energized that man's ankles and legs. And the thing is he started standing before it started happening. As he was starting to get up, then it happened. Boom. He moved on it. And that's because, the clue is in verse 5, he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. you know, the believing's got to be there that it will happen. Our last verse is going to be in the Gospel of Mark, to the left a little bit, chapter 11. It explains this principle of a law in the Bible called the law of believing, referred to as the law of believing. Believing is a is something that God requires, and it's not hard, it's just necessary. And this is where Jesus had did a miracle, and his apostles and disciples were a bit surprised at what happened, and his answer to them was verse 22. It says, and Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God, or have believing in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou cast, and be thou removed, and be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. And this is referring to things that are promised. If God promises it, it's available. And then we just believe, and it will come to pass. Just like that guy that got healed. So strength is something that's available to us. The thing is you don't sit there all tired and wait, I'm not going to get up until I feel stronger. But the way it works is you get up, and as you start to move, you're energized. I can't tell you how many thousands of times that I have done that in my life. I work all day, and then I have dinner, and the last thing I want to do is 3 more hours of work. And I get up, and then all of a sudden, I got my energy there. I don't know how many times that has happened through the years. And it's how it works. You know, we move, and then it's there. You wait for it, and you might be resting in your chair a while. You know, it's just the way God designed it. But it's available to have strength, the renewal of strength, like the youth. So what a promise that is, and to enjoy it. And God makes it available in lots of different ways. Imagine Caleb just having that, he's 85 years old, and just, I feel as strong today as I did when I was ready to go into the promised land. It's pretty neat. So, it's available.